how long can you speak? It's a skill that politicians tend to do better than the rest of us with. Sometimes they're there filibustering a bill. Sometimes they just want to make a point about something that is very much on their mind. And this week, US Senator Cory Booker broke a new record. He spoke for 25 hours and 4 minutes, setting out a record for the Senate where he said he wanted to issue a warning of this grave and urgent moment in U.S. history, protesting against the actions of Donald Trump.
Would the senator yield for a question?
Chuck Schumer, it's the only time in my life I can tell you no.
I just want to tell you a question. Do you know you have just broken the record? Do you know how proud this caucus is of you? Do you know how proud America is of you?
That was the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer congratulating Cory Booker on breaking the record. Now, we thought we'd look at some long speeches, and we couldn't think of anyone better to speak to than Sir Ivan Lawrence, who, of course, was a Conservative MP for many years, also a distinguished QC. And he actually gave the longest speech in parliamentary history of 4 hours and 23 minutes. Sir Ivan, hello to you.
Good morning, Adam. How nice to speak to you.
Yeah, very nice to speak to you again as well. Just remind us, why did you feel you needed to speak so long in 1985?
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity of establishing yet again that it was not a filibuster. I was making a point. And the point was that I was infuriated by the fact that several of the experts who gave evidence to the Commons Select Committee that was looking into preventive medicine either didn't know about, because they hadn't bothered to read, or didn't want to know about, the many university conclusions drawn worldwide, sometimes by Nobel Prize winners of integrity, that it was medically harmful to fluoridate the water by putting into it industrial effluent, and like from aluminium smelting, brick making, chemical fertilizer, in order to avoid prosecutions for polluting the air and the water and the land. And I was so irritated by that that I decided to put on the record the findings of some of these universities worldwide, and it took me a long time, particularly because I was interrupted all the time by people who had funny things to say, like Toby Jessel, who I remember said, on a point of order, Mr. Speaker, does the honourable and learned gentleman aware that he promised me a lift home 3 hours ago? And Sir Bernard Brain, said that I was abusing my right of free speech, because when he spoke for 3.5 hours, it was in the interests of 30,000 of his constituents. And I said, well, I've been speaking to 46 million of mine.
You didn't, however, win the day, did you?
I didn't win because I had to go off to the Old Bailey. In those days, you could be both a practicing member of Parliament and a practicing member of the bar. And I was in the middle of a very long, largest cash robbery of all time case in the Old Bailey. I was in the middle of cross-examining a policeman. And after I'd been speaking for 4 hours and 20 minutes, my alarm went off, my watch. So I said, excuse me, I have to hurry off now to the Old Bailey to finish my cross-examination, but I'll be back. And I came back and said several hours later, I'm sorry I had to interrupt myself, but I'm back now. And I spoke for another 45 minutes, getting some more stuff on the record from around the world about the medical harm that was being done by fluoridation in America, and the denial of any knowledge of this from so-called experts who said that we must introduce fluoride into the water here in order to preserve children's teeth, which didn't quite do, but it was an item that did help. But of course, brushing, teaching children to brush their teeth and to spit out any toothpaste that they've swallowed with fluoride in would have the same effect. Of course, the trouble with fluoride was, although everybody agreed that it was one of the worst poisons you could find, the pro-authorities said, well, yes, but at one part per million, it's not really toxic. And they ignored the fact that this stuff stays in your system.
Well, I think you've got something in common with the current Secretary of State, RFK Jr. in the United States, on fluoride. But let's just stick to talking about speeches, because you have several things in common with Cory Booker, who broke the record this week. One, that he wasn't filibustering, i.e. trying to talk out a piece of legislation, as you weren't. The other, of course, that he didn't... he hasn't managed to overthrow the Trump administration. He knew he wasn't going to do that. He was making his point, as you were. But the big difference between you is the length that you spoke for. I mean, impressive to go for 4.5 hours and come back for another 45 minutes. But could you ever imagine speaking for 25 hours?
No, but I mean, I could have done that. I had enough evidence that this stuff was medically harmful, causing, as I've said, heart disease, cancer, brain failure, muscular failure, and I could have gone on doing that, but it wasn't in my interest to do that. As far as the debate was concerned, I wasn't trying to stop the bill, I was trying to amend the bill, which you can no longer do because we changed the law after I'd spoken, to make sure that it couldn't happen again. So I was there. And also, I had to get off to the Old Bailey to ask the questions of the police officer who was opposing my client.
Well, let's just listen to a couple of other politicians who are well known for making long speeches. Fidel Castro, the former leader of Cuba, was certainly one. He spoke at the United Nations General Assembly, the UNGA meeting, for over 4 hours, 269 minutes, talking about the overthrow of the US-backed dictator Fulgenio Batista in 1960 and criticizing American imperialism.
Revolutionary government, betraying the people. Of course, that for Mr. President of the United States, what we have done for our people is treason to our people. Mr. President, it is not our intention to disregard the rules that determine our conduct at the United Nations. The best lands in Cuba and the most important industries in all orders were property of North American companies. That was the situation we found, and that situation should not be a situation to many of the countries represented in this assembly. Because at the end of the day, what we've said about Cuba is nothing but an X-ray of general diagnosis applicable to most of the countries represented here.
Well, that was Castro speaking for over 4 hours, but a few years earlier, his record at the United Nations General Assembly, or in the United Nations, I should say, was actually beaten by the former Indian Defence Minister, V.K. Krishna Menon, who spoke for 7 hours over India and Kashmir.
On behalf of my delegation, the thoughts that I'm sure is in the minds of all of us who are gathered here, that my country or my government may have with those associations of the late smuts, do not enter into this matter. And
what strikes me there, Sravan, is that their approach is very different from yours. They were basically shouting, I mean, rather more aggressive for long periods of time.
Well, Speaker Weatherall admonished Edwina Currie, as I recall, for carrying out a running commentary while seated and wearing a tight T-shirt with some water authority stuff on it. And at 8:20, I seem to remember, he called for order and warned people that if I was further interrupted and fed with distracting thoughts, I would be likely to lose the thread of the excellent speech he thought I was making. So, and the point about the 4 hours is, this was continuous, And with the others, I don't know about the Castro's 4 hours. I don't know about the latest American senator. But you stop. They stopped. They went away. They came back. They had lunch. They had dinner. They resumed the speech very often. And that, if that happens, you can go on for 25 hours. And my difficulty was trying to get it all in for before I had to go off to the Old Bailey, which means I couldn't have spoken for much more than 4.5 hours without a break.
And Cory Booker, actually, he didn't have any breaks at all. The only breaks he got was when people intervened to ask him questions. And that, I think, was the way you did it as well. That's what gives you a slight breather to gather your thoughts when you take questions in the course of your speech.
Yes, Lord Renton of Huntingdon said that he kept my copy of my speech by his bed so that if he decided that he couldn't sleep very well, he'd read a bit and go to sleep with a smile on his face. So this was very sort of a fun debate, with all these interruptions, which made it longer and just meant that I could have spoken for much longer, putting the stuff on the record. One of my colleagues went out to the central lobby as well as I was speaking and met some of his constituents, and they said, "What's he speaking about?" My colleague said, "About 4.5 hours. "No, no," said the constituent. "What's his subject?" "Oh, I don't know. He hasn't said," said my colleague.
Sir Ivan Lawrence, thank you very much indeed for joining us talking about long speeches. And let's end just with a snippet of that record-breaking Senate speech this week from the Democrat Cory Booker.
"But no," I go, "no, ma'am, I'm not." "Well, who are you then?" I go, "Well, I'm a senator." And we're so conditioned in America, if we meet a congressperson out and about, the first thing we want to know is, whose team are you on? My team or their team? It's the us versus them, horrible dynamic of tribalism in our country. And I took a deep breath, and I looked at these two great American women, and I said, "Ma'am, I'm a Democrat." And the woman next to me looks at me suddenly sour, and she said, "I should have brought my Trump hat," and she wheeled it away from me. And immediately I said, "You know what? I'm not going to play... I'm not going to dance to this tune."
That was Cory Booker from New Jersey. He's run for the presidency before, and I suspect we haven't heard the last of him.